Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
They did it. Show, they did it. I'll be damned if the Houston Texans didn't trot Deshaun Watson's ass out there on day one of 2021 training camp. They done walked him out there as if he was just one of the guys, on the team. Deshaun Watson came out of the locker room, hoodie, pants, clean-ass Jordan cleats, by the way.
Really did. They
were so clean that I thought they were like tennis shoes. Oh, no. They did it, man. I can't believe.
You said they were going to do it.
I can't believe that they did it, man. Deshaun Watson took the field today with the Houston Texans for that first practice. As if he was just one of the guys, came out. Spent the first 10, 15, 20 minutes, I'd say it was closer to 20, with no jersey on, just a hoodie.
Yeah,
took
snaps. I felt like that was going to be his protest.
Yeah, everything, right?
No jersey.
I thought it was basketball shoes and hoodie, no jersey.
I said to you, I said, how long do you think he's going to go without this jersey?
It was closer to 20 minutes, but he comes out, he takes the field, he goes straight over to quarterback center exchange. And actually, which this is another part of, I know people will hear this, and I know sometimes people listen to me, the football head, and they think, oh, man, you're overblowing it, man. It's not that big of a deal. Deshaun Watson coming out today, this is how serious I think it is. Deshaun Watson coming out today with no jersey on for the first 20 minutes, doing quarterback center exchange with the quarterbacks for the Houston Texans, and getting a rep, multiple reps, I got it on video, of taking snaps from Justin Britt, who is more than likely going to be the starting center.
Is this a center exchange?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. When Troy Aikman and Randall Cunningham and hell, even Quincy Carter and those boys, when they were the starter and we went out there to quarterback center exchange, very rarely did I get up underneath Mark Stepnoski.
Much
less a guy that doesn't even want to be here. But he goes through quarterback center exchange. He goes through probably 10 minutes of individual drill, which is where somebody apparently asked him to put his jersey on. He put his jersey on, went through those drills, and show. I thought the it was very interesting, man. But the body language was totally different. It was painful to watch the Deshaun Watson that we once knew, leading the team, bouncing around from drill to drill, visibly. And audibly, you could hear and see him getting better and making people around him better. It was nothing of the sort. It was not just another day at the office. The body language was significantly different. Disengaged is a word that I think is probably best describes what was going on. I found it very interesting that Deshaun Watson, when they did get into individual drills, it was Tyrod Taylor and him was in the first group, and then Davis Mills and I'll keep forgetting the kid's name. What's the kid's name? Jeff Driscoll was in the second group. So he went through all the individual drills really as a number one or number two quarterback. Then they run over and they actually throw routes on air with the receivers, which the first two routes that that I saw him throw were to
be Cook.
Brandon Cooks.
Cookie, as he would call him.
He was in there getting reps as if he were just one of the players. And then once the team stuff started up, it was as it should be. And Tyrod Taylor was getting the reps, the ones, and it looked like Davis Mills was starting the reps with the twos show. But I can't believe they did it. I think when I look back on what we watched today, I it's less about what Deshaun Watson actually did and how he obviously felt about the situation, and more about the decision makers that decided to do it, right, and the end game of that decision. I don't understand what you gain out of it now or later. I don't understand what the team gains out of it now or later. Very interesting decision by the Houston Texans brass, and it was tough to watch. And the end game, I'm not sure of.
There's one question, and I think it was posed to at least Nick Caserio, the GM. There's one question that I just don't think they have an answer for, and that is, as Nick Caserio repeatedly said, I've been brought here to do a job. I've been brought here by the McNair family to put the Texans organization in the best position possible. Do the best things for this organization. Do what's right for the Texans. And what I watched today with my own damn eyes, it is hard for me to see what I watched today. A guy, it was one person that stuck out, that didn't want any parts of whatever it is that they were doing and trying to get better. Why? If you're doing things in interest of what's best for the Texans,
yeah,
there is nothing that made sense about Deshaun Watson being out there as what's best for the Texans. Not at all. And there is no answer for that. And what I watched today, there's nothing for it. There were reps he took away from people from anybody.
Who need them desperately.
There was time that was taken with them. And then just the awkward weirdness of it all.
It was
standing over there by himself like an usher at a black church. But just standing over there just alone.
Ushers at the white church don't stand alone?
I feel like they're more together.
Come on, man.
He looked like he was at the door.
I don't know. I go to a church that it's mixed crowd, Bob.
Is it mixed crowd?
Mixed crowd, man.
Well, I'm talking about a predominant black church. He looked like the helmet he had was the bulletins in the back of his hand. And
that's the kicker. I probably should have led with this. Not only did they trot Deshaun Watson out there, but at one point we looked over and he's running – a scout team, and I don't mean running the scout team as a quarterback. I mean running scout team running back reps for Tyrod Taylor. And then at one point he had an Eric Murray jersey on and was running scout team safety.
That's no joke. And
he had on
the number 23 jersey.
Yeah, wasn't joking. Looked like Eric Murray gained about 3 inches and probably, I don't know, probably 30 pounds. But it's just one of those things. So when I hear, I don't care who it is, man. I know David Culley's in a terrible spot, and I feel for him. But I don't know. I don't care if it's him or even if it's Nick Caserio. When I hear, this is treating him like every other player, and it's a ramp up period, and we're going to try to get him possibly get him more reps. We'll watch the film. I think that's all part of a poorly developed plan that they're executing, and it's just it's a tough one, man, because it's just not the case. The guys out there literally as a scout team running back and safety, that can't be the plan for Deshaun Watson, and hell, it can't be the plan for the Houston Texans moving forward throughout training camp, I wouldn't think. Blue 80, easy white 90. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. I know at one point you thought that may not happen, but he has reported to camp, and I tell you what, I guess it was a post-practice. He was at practice today, and I don't think there's any worry. He was not playing safety. He was not playing running back.
No, he was playing quarterback.
He was playing quarterback. Reps. But after practice, he went on a five-minute tear explaining what the hell went on. And boy, you talking about
a guy.
I haven't
heard any of this.
Oh, this is great. I can't play it all for you because the segment ain't that damn long.
Sex.
But this is Aaron Rodgers explaining part of what went wrong and his thoughts on what went wrong in Green Bay.
if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen. Like I said, it wasn't a draft day thing. There were conversations for a number of months leading up to that. Post the draft, I think what basically happened was then they said, you know, we'll give you some money now. Let's see if we can throw some money at you. I said from the start it wasn't about the money. Obviously, I didn't show up for the off-season program or mini camp. To me, it was bigger than this. It was about trying to be a resource for the organization that I care about and love so much.
Boss. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, my God. Is this what it's going to be like all year?
He put it on the table.
At one point, my man says, people don't come to Green Bay. This is not a vacation destination.
Certainly
they
not.
Come to Green Bay to play with me and to play for the Green Bay Packers.
He's out here. He's turned John McClain. He just doesn't give a rip.
Oh, he
he's
don't give
say
a rip.
Whatever is on his heart.
And here's the deal. He can
and
say
I'm
what
here
he,
for
I know he says it's not about the draft. But it's definitely about personnel, and it's about him having say in personnel. He rattles off 15 players that he says were high character guys, veterans in the locker room, deserve better. They weren't offered. They were disrespected on their way out. He calls them all by name and says that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers' giver rips are at an all-time low, and I'm here for it.
All of them.
Hey, look, I'm here for it. This is big, man. I mean, this is really, really good stuff.
I think Danica wants this Aaron back.
I thought I didn't know where you were going. I was going to say, wait a minute. Danica's not.
No, I think she wants this guy back. She wants this Aaron back.
You
this
think
confident.
So?
Look at. I mean, is this what he's going to do all year?
Right.
Every time, like, and the Packers, what do they have? What can they do? Just let him go.
Well, I looked over my shoulder and Gutenkoos. Didn't know how you say his name. Surprised
Something
I tried
like
that one.
I've been
avoiding it.
I think it's Goody.
It's Gutenkoos, I think. But it's the GM for the Green Bay Packers, and I haven't heard the audio yet, but he spoke as well. So how would you like to be the GM that goes and speaks after that 5-minute spiel that Aaron Rodgers, your quarterback, just gave?
If you're Matt LaFleur, what do you think?
Hey, I'm going to stay out the middle of this. Hey, you know what he's thinking? What I've been telling your ass that David Culley just doesn't have the option, I guess. But, hey, I got 2.5 hours every day on the practice field. Y'all stay out of my Gutenkoos, whatever the hell your name is, stay off my field. Let me have Aaron Rodgers. And when that's done, he goes to his office.
He ought to be planning his exit.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I don't know how much he believes in Jordan Love. He ought to be planning his exit.
I do agree with you there, so I think there's a lot of – not that he should be planning his exit.
But he heard Aaron. People ain't coming there to go play with no Jordan Love.
I mean, I agree with you.
Because Davante Adams is planning his exit.
I just think it's an obvious – I mean, the transparency involved is so beautiful because it gives you a good look into what the hell is going on in Green Bay. I don't know how you win as many games as you've won. Well, I do. You've got one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time taking snaps, but – I don't know how you win ball games at that high of a level with that going on in your organization.
But I think they will.
Oh, they will. As long as Aaron Rodgers is taking snaps.
Like, as long as his gives the rips don't move to the field.
Yeah.
I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. Because
I think he gives a rip on trying to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, I agree with that.
They're like
You got to go listen to the full thing. It's beautiful.
Oh God, could you imagine if he got a Super Bowl or got on some podium? And how he could throw it in the face of the Packers by the end of the year. Oh, I may be rooting for that. My goodness alive. All right, David Culley, we were wondering what he was going to sound like today. And if you missed it, wait until you hear how he tries to spin some silliness in regards to Deshaun Watson. We'll let you hear that next.
A football player is a football player.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Coming up in a bit, we'll let you hear Nick Caserio as he spoke to the media and discussing an update and giving you his thoughts. He's the man who runs the show, Camp Caserio, his thoughts on Deshaun Watson. But David Culley, the head coach of the Houston Texans, this was interesting. He went on to give reasoning on why Deshaun Watson was used the way he was used today. Here's David Culley's explanation.
Well, he was not here doing any of our offseason program. at all. And when he came in, we basically decided that we wanted to, when he's ready to do what we feel like he needs to do from a standpoint of this is a ramp-up period. And, you know, we don't want to get to the situation where we're having him do something that he's not ready to do right now. And we decided that the individual period was the periods that we could get him in where nothing happens and moving forward. And we'll make a decision on that.
All right, so, Clint, that was head coach David Culley. And what we watched from Deshaun Watson was he did some top-of-the-line stretching during his stretching drills. I mean, some of the best I've seen, top five, I believe, on the field today. He did individual. He threw some patterns to receivers, but whenever it came to team stuff, 11-on-11, the first or second or third team offense, he did not participate. He many times stood by himself, and just watched or took a knee and just watched. Yeah. So that was his level of participation. That was the reason David Culley said that's what they did, because he didn't come to the OTAs or off-season program and didn't know the system. Is that a fair enough reason for you, somebody who has coached quarterbacks and who has played in the National Football League, who's been through this? Hell, you sat there with Randall Cunningham, Troy Aikman. So, no, that wasn't.
No, look, absolutely not. I mean, if your intentions were to get Deshaun Watson ramped up, to get him more reps, and if your intentions were to fast-track him as a player and as a quarterback in this system, you had 3 days. He reported Sunday. You had Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, day and night, to get him up to speed for a day one practice in training camp that you yourself are referring to as a ramp-up day where there's no pads. In the big scheme of things, show that is, it's very, very minimal in terms of how much of the playbook was covered today, how much was actually installed today. Very, very minimal. If Deshaun Watson had never seen a playbook for the Houston Texans ever, that Tim Kelly's still the offensive coordinator, who's the guy he was with last year, but take that out of the mix. If he had never met a coach, never seen a playbook, he reports Sunday, and if you want him, if your intentions are to get him reps and to get him involved in practice, the way that the way that they're framing this, Deshaun Watson would have had a playbook, and in 3 days and three nights would have been able to learn a big chunk of that playbook, more than enough to get through a training camp ramp up practice number one in camp. So yeah, what I watched today was not a quarterback that there's efforts being put into getting him reps with the team and getting him reps in 11-on-11 types of drills. It's just not what I watched, and I can't act like it was. Yo.
No, I mean, when you talk about ramp up, and I know the positions are different, but
if this wasn't this Deshaun Watson stuff wasn't the topic, by the way, show that ramp up BS is that really.
That chaps your high.
We always got some kind of you know reason why we ain't, you know, why we're doing what we're doing, right? You don't have pads on. To hell with the ramp. You got to get better. Like what'd you say? What did David Culley say about camp? What's the time for?
It has stuck with me. It's time for camaraderie and being able to build trust.
Learn how to trust. I mean. The whole deal just is a tough one. It's not what I saw out there. Show it's tough to wrap your head around. It's tough to understand what they're
what
they're trying to get accomplished.
When you have a guy like Anthony Miller, the receiver they brought in, who's playing the slot, and he has to jump outside. I've watched him on the inside and outside today in team drills. He got there. The trade was Sunday. Saturday night, Sunday, is when that trade happened, the same day that Deshaun reported.
Mm-hmm.
And he was out there on every drill.
That's the point. It's not hard. You know it's not difficult to get a guy up to speed, especially when it's a guy that is a
professional. So you don't even give it to the fact that this is a new system, potentially, that he is learning.
No, not for 1 second when I heard that, did I go, oh, I got you. I understand. No, not one bit. You're talking about a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback that led the league in passing. That I mean, I mean, getting ready for a training camp. By the way, you're talking about a quarterback. You know, I've talked about this before. The one thing Deshaun Watson does understand is what it takes off the field in the offseason with private coaches and workout wise. Dude's going to be ready. Dude, I mean, he will be a, it's not like, well, you might hurt the groin or you might hurt, you know, something in his back or his arm, because he's not physically in shape and ready to do and handle the demands of a NFL practice. I mean, that's just not the case with Deshaun. He's not that dude. If he came in looking like James Harden, then you go, oh.
No, he did not look like James Harden.
He's not. He's not that kind of dude. I mean, you got 3 days to teach Deshaun Watson a new playbook. If that's indeed what you want to lean on, that's more than enough to get you through.
Yeah, Clint, I find it very hard to believe that if Deshaun Watson was all the way in, if he's a guy that's, I am all the way in, and he had missed off-season workouts, that man wouldn't be running with the ones once today.
I think there's
no way I believe that.
Our whole conversation revolves. I mean, our conversation is that David Culley, after practice today, tried to paint the picture of Deshaun Watson is basically getting ramped up to a point where he can get more reps with the Houston Texans, when it was loud and clear that Deshaun Watson has been trotted out on the field for I don't know what reason, but he's been forced into being on the field, and it's a bad look for all parties involved. Unfortunately, David Culley's got to go to the press conference, you know, the mic, and answer to the media, and it's, you know, the web that's being spun is a tough one to,
because what he's basically saying is, once he gets clear and an understanding to the off-season program that the other guys went through, now he's going to get more reps. That's going to be the case. And come on, we'll see. We'll see about that. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. The one thing that I was checking out and when I was watching Deshaun really closely, Clint, and the thing is, this has to be a mind game for him. A mind game. Like you talked about it. You know people who've worked with him. You know, and I've watched him from afar and now been able to cover him in the last year plus. Like, watching that Deshaun Watson, that had to be crazy. A guy who is a natural leader. Like, he is just a natural guy that brings people together. A guy that his mindset is, when I get on a football field, let me get better and let me help my teammates get better. Like, as a team, let's get better.
Yep.
And the mindset that he is out there with, and he had to be out there with today, was, let's just get through it. Like, that was completely against what he has been, right? And that had to be a mind play for him. Not only we talk about the other things, but for him to go out there and just have to be someone that he has not been his whole life when he's on a football field. That has got to be.
I don't feel sorry for Deshaun, because he's made the bed that he's
I'm
got
not
to
saying
sleep
that
in.
It's a so, feel sorry for a thing if that came across that
but,
way.
But when it's all said and done, I don't doubt in any way, shape, or form that Deshaun Watson today was an absolute embarrassment, for Deshaun Watson. Today was a day that Deshaun Watson, probably one of the toughest days in his football career. He hadn't had many. When we're talking about football things on the field, he hadn't had many days where, the embarrassment level's through the roof. There's some ego that's in play there. There's some – the legal issues obviously paint a picture and really push the embarrassment to a whole other level. There's no doubt today, and I think it was visibly obvious. I mean, it was very visible to see that Deshaun Watson was disengaged. He was embarrassed. I think it's fair. I think that's accurate. And it's unfortunate that that's where they're at, but it is what it is, and we'll see how long this thing draws out. We've had one day of camp, man. It's been an interesting one. We'll see how long it draws out.
I'm just thinking, to imagine for you, somebody like you, Clint, or myself, I think we have similar personalities, to come in and just say, hey, come to work and just keep your conversations minimal. Don't really talk to anybody. Don't really show any big range of emotion. Like, don't be yourself.
Well, you definitely, like, you definitely feel like you're wasting days, right? I mean, you definitely feel like you're stuck in a rut and you're wasting days, the very least. And magnify that times 10, and that's what Deshaun hit today.
All right, yeah, we'll let you hear what Nick Caserio had to say coming up. And as well, there were other guys out there that, hey, Texans fans, you're looking for some positive things. There were some players out there that may be willing and ready to take the next step. We'll let you know about that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, if you missed Nick Caserio as he addressed the first time since Deshaun Watson was going to be in camp, we'll have that for you coming up here in just a minute. But, Clint, there were others out there, like the rest of the team besides Deshaun out there at camp. And were there some things that jumped out to you that you enjoyed, that you watched and you felt better about after leaving camp?
Yeah, look, I was happy to see the wide receiver group, man. And not that I know how this thing's going to unfold at the wide receiver position. I think Brandon Cooks is really the only one that I would put in stone in the top three receivers of this team.
That's right, I do, B. Cooks.
He's either the number one or the number two receiver, depending on who you talk to. But the other positions are wide open. And what I loved about the receivers today is that for the first time in several years, hell, since I've been covering the team, 3 years, this is the fourth year, there's no question about it that the wide receivers as a whole, there's more of them participating, and they are absolutely grinding. They are absolutely working their ass off, and it's led by Brandon Cooks. He's out there. He's getting after it. He's first in line, full speed reps. Chris Conley is a lot more physically. He's a lot bigger and more well-built than I expected. Obviously, we know he can absolutely fly. Anthony Miller, the new wide receiver, the new slot receiver for the Houston Texans, 6 foot, 200 pounds, real twitchy, 4'4 type of player. He was in the mix, as you said, Show. He's only been in town a couple of days. Kiki QT, which we're all familiar with. I think he's in a contract year, so it's a big year for him. He needs to have a good one. But the thing is, as a whole, didn't he mention Nico Collins, the rookie?
Yep.
He obviously looks good, and I think I'm confident in saying I've seen some OTA practices I saw today. I think this guy is going to be a good several year veteran receiver in this league. I don't know how good he's going to be, but he does the simple things really well. And he's got enough size that are going to allow him to be in this league for a long time, if barring any mistakes off the field, but or major injuries. He's a guy that you could see playing for a long time. Don't know if he's going to be a one or a two or a three in this league, but he is a factor. But Show, the receivers, man, all out there grinding. It's good to see, knowing that you've got a new quarterback. You've got some, to some degree, a new offense, a couple of new offensive minds in this offensive room, in terms of what they're going to do offensively. So them guys being out there, man, it's irreplaceable, and it's gonna it means a lot if they're out there day one throughout all of training camp. It'll help his football team in a big way.
I know one thing that you noticed as soon as you went out to OTAs is that the coaching feels different.
Oh.
And I think what you're saying, especially at that wide receiver position, is you're saying, hey, they're all out there. They're all going hard. They all
– yeah.
I think that can't be missed either, that the coaching probably has something to do with that. Coach Prince, I believe that's his name,
yeah,
coaches the receivers. There may be you're starting to see some fruits of that.
I think there's several positions on this football team that are going to be coached. And then I'll be honest with you, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if after the year is over, we didn't look back and just think, hey, man, as a whole, this team was better coached than they were before. So that's where the improvement started. But there's no question about it that the wide receiver coach for this particular football team is a football coach now. I mean, he is coaching every rep. He's coaching details. He's sweating his ass off during practice, during individual, more so than team, but really across the board. I think this group as a whole will be really, really well coached. And I think there's several positions that will be, but receivers one of them. And look, that to me, I mean, that's probably why you see guys as a whole busting it at practice is because you got a coach that's busted. It's contagious. And when your coach is coaching every rep and setting the standard in terms of the sense of urgency in which he does his job, it's contagious. The group should do that. The group usually responds to that. And I think that's pretty obvious with this receiver group.
Yeah, and Clint Sterner in the show, we were out at camp today. So offensively, it looks like the receivers stood out to you. Defensively, we got to see them too. They were playing in individual and in team sessions. Was there a group that stood out to you watching this defense?
The edge players, the edge defenders on this team stood out. Not as a group. I didn't get to see a whole hell of a lot because, as you know, if you're just tuning in, there was quite a bit of Deshaun news, yeah. With Deshaun Watson being out there, and then obviously I watched the quarterbacks a lot. But I'm gonna tell you, man. The edge defenders, and in particular in team drills, Chuck Amenahu, Charles Amenahu from the defensive end position.
Is that what you're going to call him?
Chuck? That's what they call him.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I didn't just make it up, even though if it already stuck
Chuck,
the way it
Chuck
has.
Chuck Amenahu.
Chuck Amenahu. You know, he batted down a ball from the defensive end position, and I just think overall that he's going to be a guy that could take a major step in the right direction. He's a better fit for the 4-3. He's a better fit at a true defensive hand in the dirt. Rush defensive end. He's better there. I think he could take a huge jump. I'm not a fan of all the conversation about moving him inside. I think he's a defensive end. You're in a 4-3 system.
He certainly looks like one.
Yeah, he looks the part. Like
Simeon Rice or something like that. He looks the build of.
Yeah, he's tall and I don't want to say lean or skinny because he's well built, but he's definitely a defensive end build. And I think if you get into passing situations, look, if Ross Blacklock can at the very least be your inside pass rush specialist on third downs, and you can leave Charles Amenahu outside, then boy, that is really a wasted draft pick. So, the edge defenders, I think as a whole, looked pretty good. Whitney Merciless looked like he was in good shape. Jonathan Grenard, he batted a ball down. Now, I don't know if that's good for Tyrod Taylor. Had several balls batted down today.
Yeah, that was
I don't know if that's good for I don't know if that's good for the defense or bad for the offense. But Jonathan Grenard, I'm really excited to watch him. I mean, he looks like Alonzo Spellman. I think he's probably going to be better with his hand in the dirt than he was in a 2-point stance. But you know, the build reminds you of an Alonzo Spellman. He's obviously not as big as him, but that type of build, you know, maybe in the James Harrison, you know, type of category from the outside. I think he's just got the ability to obviously rush the passer. And he's thick enough and big enough and strong enough to play the run as well. Excited to watch him mature and develop this year too. But those two guys right there, I think are from today really stood out, and I think will be fun to watch them moving forward.
We'll continue to watch these guys. We're out there every day. Nobody is covering it quite like we are. Nick Caserio, he met with the media for the first time. And make sure you're listening because he will be sitting down with Payne and Pendergast tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. live at Camp Caserio. So you'll get to hear him right here with the guys coming up at 7:30 in the morning. But today he spoke with the media for the first time, and it was him addressing the Deshaun Watson situation since he's reported to camp. Here's Nick Caserio.
You know, I'd say on Deshaun's situation, I know there'll probably be a lot of questions about that. I would say my comments about that are he reported for training camp the other day. I know the league put out a statement and made some comments about where they are in that process. And again, I think from our perspective, it's a day-to-day endeavor. You know, we're going to take the information, we're going to process that. We're respectful of everybody and everything that's involved. So we'll kind of take it one day at a time. And, you know, ultimately we're going to do what we feel is best, you know, for the Houston Texans. I'm sure there'll be some questions. I know there's been a lot of speculation about what the Texans will do by a lot of different scenarios. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, a lot of it's speculation. I'm not going to comment about a bunch of rumors about what we've done, what we're going to do, what the plan is. Like, that's not what I'm going to do. That's not my responsibility. The reason I was brought here by the McNair family is to do what I feel is best for the Houston Texans organization on a day-to-day basis, and that's my responsibility to ownership, that's my responsibility to the players, and that's my responsibility to the coaching staff. So that's how we're going to handle it, okay? So, you know, with that, we'll take some questions here for a few minutes, and then we'll kind of get moving. Again, I'm not going to get into an individual discussion about who's going to be doing what. Again, everybody will go out there, you know, whatever they're going to do, and I'm not going to comment about somebody, you know, what they're going to do on a day-to-day basis.
Nick, you said it's not your decision to make, but you just spent 5 minutes talking about everything. You're the GM. Whose decision is it to make about what Deshaun Watson does with this team?
Again, we're going to do what we feel is best for the organization on a day-to-day basis. So, again, it's a collective effort. I mean, between myself and David Culley, we're going to talk about everything each day, and then we're going to do what we feel is best.
Is it in the best interest of this team for Deshaun Watson to be around this team right now?
Again, I'm not going to get into speculation about what's right, what's not. Again, the most important thing for us is to do what we feel is best, and the most important thing is for the players to go out there and get themselves ready to play. So whatever that entails, whatever that looks like, that's what we're going to do.
With everything going, I mean, Deshaun Watson's a national story, and you're not giving any update about his status with your team when he's on your roster.
Again, it's my responsibility is to the players first and foremost in the organization, and that's where it's going to be.
Nick, how has he engaged with the coaches and yourself and others since he did your role?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say we've had conversations. I'm not going to get into the nature of those conversations. Again, he's here. He's been in meetings. He went through the conditioning test, you know, just like however many other players that we had that were here. So, again, we're going to take it one day at a time, Ed. We're going to do what we feel is best on a day-to-day basis.
Nick, will he be out here? What will he do?
Again, I'm not going to comment about who's going to be out here, who's going to be doing what, John. You know, we're going to go out here. We're going to prepare for practice. And then, you know, we'll just take it one day at a time, one period at a time.
When did you learn to be reporting to camp?
Pardon me?
When did you learn he would be reporting?
Everybody had a reporting date, that was notified. The players were notified of what their reporting date was, so everybody knew when they were scheduled to report, so, you know, everybody knew what was expected on that front.
Are you concerned about the distraction that this may cause or will cause because he's here?
Yeah, no, our players and staff have done a great job. I mean, focusing on what they can control, which is their job, which is their individual performance, which is their individual skill development, and, you know, their development as a player. Again, kind of where we are at training camp, and this week is kind of unique. We're in this kind of ramp-up period. There's no pads, you know, it's helmets. You know, we're going to go through practice like we normally do. But the most important thing for each player, each person, is to focus on themselves and the things that they can control. Again, we have 50 new players, or whatever it is. I mean, you guys have done the count probably better than I have, but we have a lot of new players, so their responsibility is to themselves, is to each other, to go out there and just do their job and prepare themselves to play. Again, the roster construction, what that looks like, again, between now, I mean, we play a game in, 17 days or something like that, so we have 12 to 13 practices, so we have a lot to get done in a short period of time, so the most important thing is for the players to focus on the things that they can control.
Nick, did Deshaun Watson tell you guys that he wants to be traded?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on what's been communicated, what conversations we had. I think that's more of a private, you know, out of respect to everybody involved. I think that's, you know, the most important thing is to keep it between ourselves.
What was your impression of his physical conditioning and readiness to practice?
Yeah, I'd say most of our team looks like they're ready to go. I'd say, you know, mostly just about everybody, you know, passed the conditioning test, which is kind of one measure of their physical performance, and what that says is whether or not they're ready to practice. So, again, the players have worked hard in the offseason. They kind of prepared themselves. Again, are things going to happen out here in the practice field, Ed? Absolutely. So, again, the most important thing is getting themselves physically ready to play. And, again, the way the practices are structured, the way the league is put in place per the CBA, it gives everybody kind of an opportunity with some of the jaded and jagged kind of offseason program. So, again, where the team is now, most players are in condition, most are ready to go. You know, we'll have to monitor, you know, workload and level of performance and those types of things on a regular basis, and that's what we'll do. But the players that are here are ready to practice, and then, you know, we'll take it one day at a time.
Do you have the physical conditioning factors that you're using considering what's best to do with Deshaun Watson situation? Like, what are the main factors that you're considering in terms of what is best to do? You talked about doing what's best for the organization. How do you come to that?
As far as just you're talking about an individual basis or just
–
yeah, again, it's not about one person or one individual. I think our focus is on our team and always doing what's in the best interest of our team, and, you know, that's how we're going to handle it. Again, I would say there's always a lot that go into these things. And, again, every team is dealing with different things, I would say, when you look around the league. So we're no different. So, again, we talk about everything. David and I talk about everything on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, we're going to go out there and each day just try to do what we feel is best for us.
Nick, have you reached 85% on the vaccination?
I'm not going to get into the percentage, John. What I would say is I'd say we've made progress from the spring relative to where we are now. So we're making progress. Again, I don't want to necessarily get into the percentages because some of that is pretty fluid just relative to the dates and the timing of when that actually comes to fruition. So I'd say we've made progress from the spring. We're on track. I think we're in a decent position. So, you know, each day we'll probably get more information as we go. Pardon me? I would not expect him to be out here, no.
What do you say
that Tyrod Taylor is predetermined?
When is your returning starting quarterback, the starter, the first day of camp?
Yeah, again, we really haven't talked about anybody relative to who's a starter, who's not. Again, everybody's going to get a lot of reps. We're going to mix and match the groups. You know, everybody's going to get the same I would say this is really our first time to kind of evaluate, you know, our team. OTAs are OTAs, so now we're going to get into a little bit more, okay, individual group drill, 7-on-7. So we're going to see more. We're going to have more information. Again, everybody's going to get X number of reps. At some point, we'll have to make a decision about who sits where and who goes where. I would say day one is really not the place to determine that. So it's not about starters. It's not about whose role. It's about the players going out there and just establishing their level of performance. That's the most important thing. No, hold on, one at a time. Go ahead. Yeah, I'd say with a lot of the new players that have come in, their attitudes have been good. They worked hard. You know, we had a four-week period there where we were able to get some things accomplished. So, again, everybody's here now in training camp, so we'll get a better barometer as to where people might be. So, again, I'd say just the construction of the team. As we sit here today, we have a lot of guys that have, you know, a certain level of experience in the league. So, again, now that we're kind of starting over, like, that's not as germane and as relevant. So all we can go is based off of what we see here. So again, the most important thing, Aaron, is for everybody just to kind of focus on what they can do and what they can handle. And then
when it comes to a Watson situation or handling anything, how much does noise or distraction factor in, or is that just something that you just have to put to the side and focus on and doing what's best for the squad?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'd say just generally speaking, society, there's probably a lot of noise on an external basis. I think one of the things that we've, you know, been consistent about is kind of focusing on what goes on in our building and the things that we can control, you know, which is our effort, which is our attitude, which is our meeting, which is preparing for practice. So again, our players and staff have done a great job. I would say the attitude in the building has been great, kind of going back to January when, you know, I first arrived. So again, like, the most important thing is for us to focus on what's going on inside the building. And again, there's always going to be things externally that are said or noise, as you referenced. But again, it's not our job to kind of get caught up in that. At least that's not, you know, wouldn't be doing my job if I was kind of worried about, you know, some of those things.
Were you surprised that Deshaun did show up and battle in the air conditioner over here a little bit? I apologize, but were you surprised when he reported?
Yeah, again, like, everybody had a reporting date, and the expectation was that, you know, the players would report. So, you know, that was, you know, and we, you know, everybody had their time that they were going to be in the building. So, you know, we have however many players are here right now. I think it's 88-ish, 89, whatever it is relative to the roster. So, again, it's where we are for today, and we're moving forward. So,
Beyond Deshaun, can you give us your 30,000-foot view of your quarterbacks are in camp, how you view that particular position, since there's so much focus on it anyway?
Yeah. Again, I think the performance will – it's hard for me to sit here and say, well, this is what I think right now. So, again, we've assembled the team. We've added players to the team that have – again, cross positions with a variety of different backgrounds, variety of different levels of experience. Again, our job is to go out here and kind of evaluate what we see moving forward. Again, can't have any preconceived notions, and we've communicated this to the players. And, like, respectfully, it's not about what's happened in the past. You're going to be judged on what happens moving forward, and I think the players understand that and, you know, are going to hold themselves accountable for that.
Nick, you have to emphasize fresh starts and doing things that are in the best interest of the organization. You mentioned it several times today. Back to Watson, though, is a distraction in the best interest organization?
Yeah, I would just speak. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but it really hasn't been a distraction, and, you know, we don't think it will be a distraction. Again, I think our staff and players have done a great job of focusing on the things that, you know, are germane and relevant to them, which is their individual performance and their individual job. So, speak for too many people, but I would say, to answer your question, it really is not. It hasn't been a distraction. So maybe one more.
But is the fact that he's here, is that in the best interest of the organization?
Again, we'll take the information each day. Again, it's not a distraction for the team. Our players have done a great job with their attitude and approach. So, again, they're professionals, and they're going to handle things the right way, which, quite frankly, they've done all the way up until this point. Okay? All right, guys, have a good day.
Thank you. That's General Manager Nick Caserio, and as he ended that, you know, repeatedly saying it's not a distraction, boy, that press conference sounded like he is dealing with someone who is distracting him from completely throwing all resources to the building of this team.
Yeah, it's wild to think, man, that anybody involved would couch it as it's not been a distraction at all. Especially Nick Caserio coming from Bill Belichick's tree. I mean, though, Bill Belichick's a guy that like Ryan Mallett couldn't do radio with us about Arkansas when he was playing there. I mean, this is a guy that there's rumors out there that you check your phone at the front desk when you walk in, right? I mean, this is – you talk about, like, distractions are dealt with on a whole nother level where he came from. And then to come here and say that the Deshaun Watson situation is not a distraction, I don't know how they've arrived at this not being a distraction. I don't know how when you, as a GM, speak to the media for 15 minutes before the first training camp practice and you spend half of that time or more answering or avoiding Deshaun Watson questions and your head coach does the same after practice, how is that not – how in the very least bit at that point in time is that not a distraction? Tough to wrap your head around, especially where Nick Caserio comes from.
Well, today, two portions of the leadership of the Houston Texans gave the latest on Deshaun Watson. And if you miss where they had to say, it's something you got to hear. We'll let you hear all that coming up next, plus a move the Texans finally made. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.